I'm muted. I apologize. The recording started at 11:04. The board has just returned from executive session. In doing so, we'll do a swift roll call of board members and staff to make sure everybody is present. Dr. King. Dr. King, you're muted.
Yes, here, present.
Dr. Bustillo.
Present.
Mr. Leone is recused. Dr. Hike.
Here.
Mr. Greer.
Here.
Mr. Barton. Mr. Barton, you're muted. Can't hear you. Mr. Barton, we'll come back to you. I'm muted. I apologize. The recording started at 11:04. The board has just returned from executive session. In doing so, we'll do a swift roll call of board members and staff to make sure everybody is present. Dr. King. Dr. King, you're muted.
Yes, here, present.
Dr. Bustillo.
Present.
Mr. Leone is recused. Dr. Hike.
Here.
Mr. Greer.
Here.
Mr. Barton. Mr. Barton, you're muted. Can't hear you. Mr. Barton, we'll come back to you. We can see him. Technical sound issues. Ms. Crowley.
Here.
Ms. Richardson.
Present.
Ms. Cardoza left the meeting earlier this morning at 9:16. Mr. Barton? We can see him diligently trying to address his issues, his technical issues, I should say. Just left the meeting. He'll rejoin in a moment.
Okay, can you hear me now?
We can hear you now. Mr. Barton, are you present?
I am here, yes.
Thank you. Dr. King, back to you.
Okay, thank you. So we were in discussion about Mr. Kempton's update. Did anyone else have questions for Mr. Kempton?
So, go ahead, John.
The two courses, the CE course, spinal eval, and peripheral joint, is there a reason that you're waiting for those courses?
Yes. Well, I'm planning on taking them. I just financially, these other courses have taken quite a hit on me, and so I'm trying to recover and try to be able to build up some money so I can take them.
Thank you.
I think my question for you, Mr. Kempton, is do you feel you have a more clear understanding as to the steps that you need to follow going forward?
Yes.
So
as far as the monitoring company, correct? Monitor
all of the provisions in your consent agreement.
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Kempton, do you think you can comply with what is with what you need to do in the time frame set forth in that consent agreement now?
And so from what I'm understanding, the time frame period as far as I'm already past due on the monitoring company. I'm doing that as quickly as I can. But as far as that, the other two things, I'm still doing the counseling and I'm doing I have the chaperone and all that stuff. But as far as the time frames allotted, the other two things that I'm not currently doing is those two courses, I think, that are due on November 2nd or 3rd.
Okay. And do you think you'll be able to complete those courses by November 2nd?
Yes. I'm currently looking into them right now and trying to find some courses to submit to Judy. I just started looking those up this week.
Okay. Thank you.
Judy, did you feel like the report from the counselor was more in the direction of in which you aligning with what the concerns were as outlined in the consent agreement?
The report that we received most recently on Friday evening was probably more descriptive. It's concerning to me, though, that the reports continue to call out an interim consent agreement and give the impression that, that the matter will soon be closed. That's the impression that I'm getting from it. Mr. Kempton has been asked before if he's provided his therapist with a final consent agreement. I have offered to provide the therapist with a final consent agreement. The consent agreement is available on the board's website. It is published. I don't understand that reference. I don't know if it's a mistake or if he's just not really understanding the process. My question would be again with the board, these reports again, we should have had at least four reports. They should have been delivered by the 10th of the month. None of them, we've only received three, one right before this meeting. None of them have been by the 10th of the month. His therapist has asked for a meeting. We've offered opportunity for him to provide availability to which we've received nothing. So, moving forward, I don't know what we'll see. The report that we did receive seemed a little bit more attentive to the original outline of the interim consent agreement and then followed by the consent agreement with respect to the evaluation that Mr. Kempton had previously obtained.
My question, I think, would be for you, Mr. Kempton. Can you own that part? Can you ensure that the counselor reaches Judy and that they understand what it is that Judy's needing? The report timing is still part of your consent agreement. I really need you to drive that.
Okay. Well, can I bring up to you? I think that interim consent, I did show him the finalized consent. I have showed him multiple times. And so I think that might just be a grammar error. I think he's meaning the final consent agreement, not the interim. And secondly, yes, I can. I thought that his last report was, he turned it in like on the 20 something, two reports ago. He returned on the 20. And so in his mind, he talked about it with me. He's like, well, they want them a month apart. So he turned in the next one around the 20th as well. And so I thought he was trying to, because in the consent agreement says they want a report, wants a report each month, but I can definitely talk to him and tell him they want it by the 10th.
The agreement itself indicates monthly reports received by the 10th of the month.
Okay. So would you like his next report, even though I just turned this one in, would you like another report on the 10th?
August 10th.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, yes, Dr. King, yes, I can. I can drive that, yes.
Okay. And then do you continue to have a female chaperone with you with every female patient you treat or supervise?
Yes, I do.
And they're signing off on things, and you're indicating in the charts.
I can provide a briefing on that.
Thank you.
I have done one additional audit that was for the date since your last review in June. I did one more audit. I continue to receive weekly chaperone logs. I receive the patient reports or the patient schedules for a particular day that I request, and the chaperone logs match the patient schedule for female patients. I actually did talk to the chaperone last week because I was seeing in the flow sheets, it looked like her handwriting on the left-hand side where the exercises were listed. And I just wanted to confirm with her that she was not providing any direct patient care. She did admit that she was writing in the flow sheets listing the exercises. So when Mr. Kempton does an initial evaluation and he identifies the exercises that he wants the patient to do, she is writing that on the flow sheet. But she told me that she is not providing any direct patient care and that she is present with Mr. Kempton for all female, for treatment that he provides to any female patients.
Would you agree with that, Mr. Kempton, that she's not providing any direct patient care?
Yes.
Thank you.
A question. Is it okay if she writes on that flowchart? Because my handwriting is super non-legible. And so is it okay if she writes on that? Because she signs the flowchart each day, so of all the female patients. But is it okay if she writes down those exercises when she's in there for the evaluation?
So you're dictating them to her and she's writing them in the flow sheet?
Yes.
Kind of as a scribe for you?
No, but yeah, she doesn't. But she doesn't scribe just the exercises. All she writes.
I mean, I don't necessarily see a problem with that as long as she's not taking her eyes off of what you're doing.
No, she's not.
Because her role is to actually observe you.
Correct.
Not write something. Okay.
Correct.
Okay. All right. Any other?
So I think it sounds to me like we're in a position now where we just need to ensure that this kind of gets done. Mr. Kempton seems to think that can be done by this continuing education can be done by November. So I think, I don't know that we need to take any action unless the other members of the board disagrees.
The only recommendation I would say that we ratify the non-compliance and I agree with you, Mr. Barton. I think that's what we need to do, but I think we need to ratify the fact because he is currently non-compliant. We're not going to revoke his license right now. I do want him to know that this is kind of his one shot. This is his one chance to be out of compliance. And the next time, we don't want to see him every month. And if we do, we're just going to, he's not compliant. So, I would move that we ratify the licensee's compliance with the consent agreement in as much as we're accepting the monitoring contract entered into on July 6, 2023, understanding that that was outside of the date set forth in the consent agreement. That would be my motion.
I would second that.
Any discussion? So the expectation of the board is that monitoring and a practice audit will occur immediately, as soon as they get a monitor. Here's my concern. Fast forward 2 months from now, there's not a monitor or a monitor that he approves or that he likes or doesn't do it, and we're still in the same boat. I mean, I recognize that we have to wait on a monitor, but at the same time, I also recognize that it was a month and a half after he signed the agreement that he decided he wasn't happy with the details of the agreement and because it was going to be expensive. So we're a month past, And we're still in a, so I just am putting it out there that he's going to have to passively now wait for a monitor and continue to practice potentially unchanged. So it's just a statement.
Yeah, and Richard, I understand your comments, but when you look at the history, I don't think it's unreasonable.
Mr. Grew, when I look at the history, 2021, we were talking about these things.
I understand.
It's been one thing after another of not understanding, not being in compliance, having to come back to the board for clarity, rediscussing things that were already agreed upon, not in compliance again, finally in compliance, and now we're here again, not in compliance, and asking for the board's leniency. So I'm just stating that it's a pattern, and I'm concerned.
I hear you, but if you look at the Judy's June 13th email to the licensee, you know, she says, if you want to discuss something with the board, this was when he had already received the contract. He could have signed it, and he probably would have signed it if the direction would have been, hey, the consent agreement's the consent agreement, you need to sign this. You know, I don't think he acted unreasonably. I don't think the delay, the fact we don't have monitors, entirely his fault. He had a question. He came to the board. The board said, hey, if you want to talk about something, you have to talk about it on the meeting. There's no warning there that's saying, hey, just so you know, the meeting's a day after your compliance deadline. So if they don't approve it, you're screwed. It's just, you know, once we told him no, he acted within a week, basically. There was a holiday in there, but,
mm-hmm.
you know, I don't think he acted unreasonably. I understand. I don't want to ever see him again either. I want this to go forward, and I'm fine giving him this one chance, but, you know, I expect complete compliance with the consent agreement going forward. And whether that's getting with his therapist and getting with his other, you know, if I was him, I'd be beating down the door of affiliated monitors asking him why they haven't appointed someone yet, because it's his license. It's not affiliated monitor's license. So those are my thoughts. And
appreciate that. Thank you.
I agree. I think there's, you know, I think we all agree that the expectation is that that this gets figured out and we don't have to be back here in a couple of months. But in the interim, you know, I think he's doing the best he can, and I don't think it's unreasonable to come back and talk to us about something that is a big financial concern. So that's kind of my perspective as well. So, you know, that's kind of where I am, and I agree with what Mr. Grew saying.
So we have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? All right, Judy, would you restate the motion, please, and then call the vote?
It's been moved and seconded to ratify Mr. Kempton's compliance to date with his consent agreement, understanding that the monitoring contract has now been signed and Mr. Kempton is required to comply with all terms of the agreement in the time frame specified. Dr. King?
No.
Dr. Bastillo?
Yes.
Mr. Leone? Sorry, recused. Dr. Hike?
No.
Mr. Grew?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
The motion passes.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Kempton.
Thank you very much.
Please continue to stay in touch with Judy and the board staff on your monitor and progress toward compliance with your consent agreement.
I will call her today. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, we are now at agenda item 9A, case number 2345, Armando Rivas, PTA. Is Mr. Rivas on the call?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Mindy, this is initial review, so let me read the script in case there are people on the call who have never experienced an initial review before. This is the time and place scheduled for the board's initial review of complaints. There are three cases for the board to consider today. The matters will be heard by the board pursuant to its authority under ARS 32-2045. For everyone's benefit, I'll provide a brief summary of how the board conducts initial reviews. The summary applies to all cases that we will hear today, and so I won't repeat this for each case. I'll begin first by introductions. My name is Dr. Kelly King, and I am the board president, and I'll ask each of the board members to introduce themselves, please.
Karen Bustillo, professional member, board vice president.
Giovanni Leone, professional member, secretary.
John Hike, professional member.
Joshua Greer, public member.
Joshua Barton, public member.
Great. For those participating in the initial reviews, please be aware that we have read all of the materials submitted. If at any time it is necessary to refer to any patient, please use initials only. In each case, the board will first hear a brief summary of the investigative report from Mindy Richardson, our board investigator. Once she is done, the board will ask the complainant, if they are present, if they wish to address the board, and the board then will also ask the professional and or an attorney, if they have counsel, if they would like to do the same. In order to give everyone the same opportunity to address the board, we ask those speaking not take the time repeating information that the board has already received. You will be given the same amount of time to address the board that it took to present the investigative report, around 5 minutes or so. Please keep in mind that this is not the time or the place for the complainant or the professional to address each other. The board has a civility policy that prohibits the use of any type of disruptive behavior. Those violating the policy will, after being given an opportunity to modify their behavior, will be removed from the meeting. Once the board concludes its discussion with the parties, it will move into deliberation. While the parties are free to stay and listen to the deliberations, we ask that you respect the fact that we are now discussing the case amongst ourselves and request that you not interrupt the process. The board's options include, but are not limited to, dismissing the complaint, taking a non-disciplinary action, such as issuing an advisory letter or an order for continuing education, offering the professional a consent agreement, requesting the professional participate in an informal hearing, remanding this case to a formal hearing. Before we call the first case, I want to advise everyone that the initial reviews are audio recorded. Accordingly, it's important that everyone speak loudly and clearly and only one person speak at a time. And lastly, as a reminder to us as the board that this is not an informal hearing, if you have a few questions that will help you better understand the case and take action to potentially resolve this case, please feel free to ask them. However, if you have a number of substantive questions or need additional investigative information, it may be more appropriate to move this case to an informal or formal hearing. All right. So, Mr. Rivas, you are up first. Mindy, would you like to give us, please, a summary of the case?
Sure. The board opened this case 2345 after finding out that Mr. Rivas was arrested, charged, and fingerprinted in Pennsylvania for DUI, unsafe driving, and disregarding a traffic lane on or about November 5th of 2022. Mr. Rivas denies that he was arrested for these charges and stated that he was stopped only for a traffic violation. He further states that he did not receive any documentation from the Reading, Pennsylvania State Police officer at the time of the stop. A search of public records revealed that Mr. Rivas was arrested and fingerprinted on or about November 7th of 2022. And despite multiple attempts to obtain additional information from Mr. Rivas, he has not fully complied, and it appears he's not been truthful as to the events surrounding his arrest. The current status of the court proceedings were obtained via public documents access. There was a disposition hearing on July 5th of 2023 in the Pennsylvania Criminal Court was scheduled. It appears that the case was moved to the Court of Common Pleas, and that hearing is scheduled for August 14th of 2023, and that was referenced in Exhibit 3 of your materials. The potential violations cited in the investigative report include ARS 32-2044-7, conviction of a felony whether or not involving moral turpitude or a misdemeanor involving moral turpitude, ARS 32-2044-8, practicing as a physical therapist or working as a physical therapist assistant, when physical or mental abilities are impaired by disease or trauma, by the use of controlled substances or other habit-forming drugs, chemicals, or alcohol, or by other causes. ARS 32-3208, mandatory reporting requirements. Both A and B were cited. and ARS 3224-18, interfering with an investigation or disciplinary proceeding by failing to cooperate or by willful misrepresentation of facts. Mr. Rivas did not request a copy of his investigative report, although it was he was notified that he could have a copy. It was also requested on July 4th that he confirm his address of record, since it was different from the public court documents that I was reviewing in Pennsylvania, and he has not responded to that request. This case reviewed.
Thank you. Before we proceed, I want to make a statement that I am familiar with Mr. Rivas, is that he attended a program that I worked in for PTA, but there's no concern for bias. Mr. Rivas, would you like to make a statement to the board?
Good morning, board. I just want to apologize for any confusion, and I'm willing to answer any questions that you have for me as best to my ability.
Thank you. Anyone have questions?
Yeah, this is Mr. Greer. The only question I have is, what happened on that night in Pennsylvania?
I just, as I stated in the previous meeting that with the board, as I told you, Mr. Greer, I was pulled over for a traffic incident at night. The police, you know, had a talk with me. Once I was released out of their custody, I had no documentation of any sort. Didn't receive any documentation until about March, I believe, the beginning of March or so, saying that they were going to attempt to pursue these charges. That's when I did what I had to do to get counsel of my own so I may protect my rights and see what I can do about this case.
And what are you doing with that?
Like I said, it's under continuance right now. I'm currently just working with my counsel. His name's Noah Gladstone, and he's over in Pennsylvania.
Why did they charge you? Aware that they charged you with a DUI, right?
Not until March, sir.
But now you know that you were charged with a DUI, correct?
They're attempting to, yes, sir.
Well, you have been charged. I'm not saying you've been proved it, but you've been charged, correct?
They're going for the charges, yes, but nothing's proven, sir.
I understand that. And nothing about the stop indicated to you that you thought you were being stopped for DUI?
No, sir.
I don't have any further questions.
So, Mr. Rivas, what is going on with the board? I guess, you know, one of my larger concerns is that the board has been trying to get information out of people, which has not been forthcoming. Is there a reason for that, or do you have an explanation for that?
I've just been having, not to get too personal, I've been having some serious personal issues in my life regarding my family, and just that's hence why I didn't have a address for a while, because I was homeless for a while. I've had a lot of personal issues that I've been trying to deal with as well, dealing with my family life and everything.
Okay. Do you have an address now?
Yes, I just got a new address as of last week.
Okay. And obviously we need you to update that with the board. Can you do that?
Yes, sir. It has been done through the e-licensing portal.
It currently has been done?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Mr. Barton, I'll check that right now.
Thank you.
So I believe they asked for a public address and then a mailing address.
A mailing and a public address was updated through the e-licensing system and attached to his certificate on July 25th.
Okay.
Great.
So, you know, Mr. Rivas, I just by way of communication, you know, I'm going to extol to you the same thing we extol a lot of our members, you know, talk to us. Our staff is very able to help you with concerns about that. And if there are issues like that, we can work with you, but we can't work with what we don't know. And so, you know, I just ask you to kind of work on some better communication with us and our staff. That really does go a long way to keep these things from spiraling. You know, if you let us know you're having those kinds of issues, we can take steps to try to minimize the possibilities of damage to your license, which I think is a, you know, very important thing to keep life good. So.
Understood, sir.
Thank you. That's all I have.
Mindy, did you say that there's an upcoming court appearance, or what did you say? Something in November or?
No, August 15th.
August.
I said.
What is that?
That's a hearing, according to the public document. That's all I have available.
Are you aware of that, Mr. Rivas?
Yes, Dr. King. I believe it's the 14th, to be honest.
Yeah, that's what's listed on the case document in Exhibit 3.
Okay. So I just want to clarify what I think I'm hearing you say, that you were pulled over, that as far as you were concerned, you weren't arrested, and you didn't know anything else after the police officer talked to you until you got something in the mail?
Correct. Months later. Yes, ma'am.
And then there wasn't a blood alcohol test or breathalyzer or anything?
No breathalyzer, no blood alcohol test, ma'am.
Why do you think that they thought you were under the influence?
What was that?
Why do you believe that they thought maybe you were under an influence?
I mean, it was, I don't remember exactly everything. I know it was late at night and I had been up for a while. I don't know, maybe I wasn't driving up to their standards or something. I'm not exactly sure. I haven't read the report or anything, so I wouldn't know what they wrote about me or what they're saying that they saw.
I mean, it looks like it's already impacted you in that your level one fingerprint clearance card was reduced, right?
Yes, just to the worker's fingerprint. Yes, ma'am.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions for Mr. Rivas?
Judy, do we have the police report? All I see is the arrest release.
No, that's not available. I can make a records request. It can take several months for that. And it may not actually be released until after his criminal court hearing has been set.
You know, the hard part of this case is I hear what Mr. Rivas is saying, and it's directly contradictory to what we have in the very limited information we received from Pennsylvania. You know, what we see in Pennsylvania is he was arrested.
And fingerprinted.
And fingerprinted.
And that's just different than what Mr. Rivas is saying. And so I just don't know. One, you know, but for that, you know, the fact that somebody got arrested and didn't report it, we know how to deal with that. But, you know, Mr. Rivas is saying he didn't get arrested. But we do know that somehow he was fingerprinted. And he's saying that didn't happen.
Is that correct, Mr. Rivas? You were not fingerprinted?
I'm not saying I wasn't fingerprinted. I'm saying I don't recall being fingerprinted.
So, Mr. Greer, other members of the board, I agree with the concerns with Mr. Greer. I think the best course of action is to wait until this hearing comes out to maybe request a police report and to table this for a few months until we know what's going on. I'm not comfortable making a call one way or the other right now, given what I have.
Yeah.
That's kind of my inclinations that we table this matter and instruct our staff to go out and do what they can to get that police report. And if not, we should at least know something else by August for this hearing in August.
Do you want it to come back as an initial review then, or informal hearing with continued investigation?
I think we may as well make it come back as an informal hearing with continued investigation, just so we have our options open if there is a need.
Is that a motion, Mr. Barton?
That is a motion, yes. So my motion is that we table the matter and move to an informal hearing after we have received the police report and an update on what potential charges Mr. Rivas is dealing with.
I second your motion.
Can I ask if you are going to adopt all of the potential violations that were cited in the investigative report?
Yes.
Including 32-2044-18?
Yes, including 32-2020. Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, just...
Do you want me to state them?
Well, Madam Chair, members of the board, some of this is a little premature because we just don't know. We may know when it actually is set for an informal. But one of the things, just following up Mr. Barton's motion, is that... it would not surprise me that Mr. Rivas's attorney in Pennsylvania has a copy of the police report. And we may want to ask Mr. Rivas to provide the board with a copy of the police report that his attorney has. And if he doesn't have that, that would surprise me. But if he doesn't have it, then he can just, inform the board that, from the attorney, that he doesn't have it.
Yeah. I would second that. I think that's one of the better ways to get a hold of that document. So. So can we add that to our instruction of our staff to request that Mr. Rivas provide that or a documentation from his attorney that they do not have that document at this time?
Yes. You can add that to your list, Mindy, please.
Will do.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion about moving this to an informal hearing with the request of additional investigative information, including requesting the police report and then the outcome of the hearings that are in the future?
Not a question, but some of these on report we do have, it says unsafe. Are those things just kind of lumped in together? That could be DUI. It could just be driving unsafe, but not under the influence. Or is that, if somebody can explain that to me.
There's three separate charges.
What's
DUI,
that?
Those were three separate charges. If you look at Exhibit 3, there's DUI / unsafe driving. The second,
and that's what I'm talking about. Yeah, I didn't know if DUI and unsafe driving is a catch-all for many different things that could happen, or it's just straight you were under the influence.
I'm not sure.
I don't know if anybody has an answer to that. Who's familiar with this kind of statutes?
I'm not familiar with those specific statutes, so I could probably look, but.
Yeah, likewise, I'm not familiar with the Pennsylvania law.
Okay. I'm just trying to distinguish that as well, because if Mr. Rivas is saying that, nobody told him that he was charged with driving under the influence, and they have these two things kind of put together but could be completely different scenarios, then I can kind of understand what it is he's trying to say.
Yeah, and I think that's why I'm inclined to just table it and let, you know, yeah, let the courts in Pennsylvania figure it out, and then when we know whether we have jurisdiction or not.
So. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. If there's no further discussion, then we can call the vote.
I'm not sure I caught all that, so if this is incorrect, please correct me. It's been moved and seconded to request that this matter be tabled and to direct staff to obtain any additional police or legal reports requesting that Mr. Rivas and his attorney provide those documents and then invite Mr. Rivas to an informal hearing when the matter before the Pennsylvania courts has been completed.
Well done.
Dr. King.
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo.
Yes.
Mr. Leone. Mr. Leone. He's frozen. We'll come back to him. Dr. Hike.
Yes.
Mr. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Barton.
Yes.
Mr. Leone is attempting to rejoin. And there he is, Mr. Leone. You're muted.
Sorry about that. My internet shut down, so I had to switch to my phone.
Mm-hmm. The motion is before you. How do you vote?
Oh, yes.
Thank you. That motion passes.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Rivas. The board staff will be in touch with you.
Thank you. Have a good rest of your day.
Thanks, you too. Next on our agenda is case number 2328, Andre Porterfield, PT. Initial review. Is Mr. Porterfield on the call?
I'm on the call.
Hi. We will ask Mindy to give us a summary of the case, and then we will ask you questions.
Let me just confirm if the complainant patient PC, are you on the call?
Yes.
Good morning.
Yeah.
Okay. The board opened case 2328 after review of complaint from a patient, PC. PC states that he was performing exercises under the direction of a therapy aide on March 20th of 2023. During a sled pulling exercise, he states his right knee buckled, he felt a pop, and then experienced a significant increase in right knee pain. He states he immediately stopped the exercise and reported what happened to the aide. The aide then reported the incident to the PTA. The PTA initiated treatment for increased pain to the right knee, but the patient was not reevaluated by Mr. Porterfield after the incident. PC alleges Dr. Porterfield was not actively supervising the PTA nor the therapy aide, and did not take appropriate action in managing his care on March 20th of 2023. Based on medical record review and interviews, the following are potential violations for the board to consider. ARS 3220.44, engaging in performance of substandard care by physical therapist due to deliberate or negligent act or failure to act, regardless of whether actual injury to the patient is established. ARS 3220.43, supervision patient care management. ARS 3220.44.6, failing to supervise assistive personnel, physical therapy students or interim permit holders in accordance with this chapter and rules adopted pursuant to this chapter. ARS 3220.44.13, charging unreasonable or fraudulent fees for services performed or not performed. ARS 3220.44.20, failing to maintain adequate records, and as it relates to R424.304, adequate patient records. Mr. Porterfield received a copy of the investigative report, provided a supplemental written response, and that was included in your review materials. This case is for your review.
Thank you, Mindy.
You're welcome.
Mr. Porterfield, would you like to address the board?
I've already addressed the board with my supplemental response, so I'm going to leave it as is. I accept whatever the outcome is with this. with all my patients, I'm a supervising therapist, so no matter what happens on anyone's schedule, it comes back to me, so I own up to that.
Thank you. Patient PC, would you like to make a statement to the board?
It's been 4 months and 4 days, and I'm still suffering because of this exercise that I told the aide before the treatment began, I was not doing well. I was experiencing increased pain, but never over the years of having received physical therapy have I ever been injured at physical therapy. And when I sat there for 20 to 30 minutes on a table receiving electrical stimulation at the after the incident occurred, I put a towel over my head to show my displeasure and disgust because I was in pain and not to make a scene in front of the other clients that were there. No one ever attended to me. I walked out. No one ever addressed me. It was very professionally discourteous, and I felt somewhat disrespected because I went there for help, and I had been receiving help, but that particular day I suffered a setback and an injury, which I'm still suffering from today.
Thank you. Would you both be willing to answer questions from the board if we should have any?
I would.
PC and
I'm willing.
Dr. Porterfield, thank you. Okay. Board members, do you have any questions at all for, let's start with Dr. Porterfield.
So just to clarify, when the incident occurred in the clinic, did you have any involvement in it as far as checking in with the patient, seeing what was going on, or was it all just the PTA at that point who was kind of managing that?
So at the time of the incident, I was in an initial evaluation, and from what I discussed with the PTA, she was the one that directly was the one interacting with him, and she deemed that the situation was under control.
Okay. Thank you.
And then, Mr. Porterfield, when you examined the patient, PC, and you were looking at the knee, it looks like from the initial examination and the report that, number one, the radiographs were negative, MRI was negative, your special tests for MCL and LCL were negative, meniscus was negative, ACL was negative. What he was complaining of was medial knee pain, and he had some loss in strength. Does that sum it up? Is there anything else that you would say in terms of thinking of this patient and the amount of pain that he was having since 1977?
So that's, again, from what I found on my evaluation, I would stand by that, yeah.
Okay, thank you. One more question then. In terms of what you've learned from this experience so far, what would you do differently?
So actively I've been communicating with all assistive personnel, whether it's PTAs, the aides, techs. If I'm in an evaluation, if I'm anywhere, and if anything happens, any adverse reaction happens to any of my patients, come get me. You can interrupt me. I don't care, because again, it all comes back to me. If in specifically the situation, if it would have been to knock on the door, say, hey, something was wrong, would have went talk with him, tried to rectify it as good as possible in the moment. And that's specifically what I've been trying to hammer home verbally, specifically with the assistive personnel that we have here.
Thank you.
Has there been any education with the technicians and the PTAs as far as progressing a patient without your approval as part of the ongoing the changes that you're making as well?
So specifically, it's been to always just come back to me if they want to do something that's a progression for what I've put down on their plan of care. And again, for me, it's either I approve it or I disapprove it, and they go one way or the other.
Okay.
Can you, Dr. Porter, can you talk me through how are patients delegated to PTAs now?
So for me, it's about complexity of the case. Again, the more complex cases, I will specifically put in my, whenever I'm speaking with the ladies at the front desk to get the patient scheduled to, basically my initials are AP. I'll tell them to put on the patient AP only to keep on my schedule until I deem it to be at a complexity where I feel comfortable delegating it to a PTA. If the patient never reaches that point, they will always be on my schedule, but I would estimate about 75% of my caseload, they can be delegated to a PTA in my estimation based off my evaluation.
What does that look like on a daily basis then? If a PTA's got their schedule, you've got your schedule, what does delegation look like daily?
Could you explain further what you mean by what does delegation mean further in terms of like what the PTA schedule looks like?
No, like do you discuss the patients that are on the PTA schedule every day to touch base with them before they treat your patients?
I try to. If it's not before they're treating the patient, it's when the patient is back going through some of their initial exercises. I'll talk with the PTA very briefly about anything that I didn't put into the evaluation, anything that didn't, in my estimation, need to be an evaluation in terms of like how the patient is, patient personality.
Is it unusual for you not to have any contact at all with the patient if they're on the PTA's schedule?
So there are days where I'll see the patient as they walk into the door if they're on the PTA schedule, and I'll try to say, hey, have a very short conversation, just ask them, hey, how you doing? Is everything going all right? And then I'll go about my business. I'll admit there are some times that I don't speak to my patient if they're not on my schedule, but it's a rare occurrence, and if it occurs, it's on me again. I take responsibility for that.
How do you think that the treatment might have gone for patient PC? Had you had the chance to talk with him and hear that he reported to the tech about his knee from the weekend?
So in all honesty, I feel like this all could have been avoided. I do take pride in my interpersonal skills and being able to talk to people, and again, it could have just been a situation where at the moment I would have been able to do a quick reevaluation just to assess how much damage was done in the activity. And in a sense, just reassured him that it was not done out of malintent. It was, again, just something that occurred in the clinic, and we apologize for that.
So if the PTA had come to you and told you what had happened, you might have taken action?
Yes, absolutely.
May I interject?
Just 1 minute, you bet.
Okay, yeah, we will. Thank you, ma'am.
We will. Yes, you bet. Karen or Giovanni, do you have any other questions for Mr. Greer or Mr. Barton? Any other questions for him?
Nothing for me.
Okay, thank you. Mr. PC, did you want to say something?
Yes, I appreciate Dr. Porterfield's analysis. I'd like to back up to before I started my last approved session on the 20th of March, as deemed by my insurance. When I entered the clinic, Andrew the tech asked me how I was feeling, and I said, not too good. Oh, what's up? I said, I'm experiencing fatigue and pain in my knee or soreness or whatever. And he said, quote, well, today we'll modify your treatment. I assumed that meant not pushing and pulling a 100-pound sled, but that wasn't the case. I think if he had interrupted Dr. Porterfield at that point, or looking back always, 2020 is hindsight is the best perspective, I would have said to him, look, dude, I'm not pushing and pulling this sled today. Go talk to the PT. I need to speak to him. Interrupt him. I didn't know I could be so bold. But looking back now, I wish I had been, because now I'm suffering the consequence of it. And it's very frustrating because it's interfering with my quality of life and my activity, obviously. I went there because I'm highly motivated. Went there for help. And I felt as though I was on the course for recovery based on Dr. Klein's analysis that I didn't need surgery at this time. So that motivated me and incentivized me to keep going, because I don't want to go under the knife again.
Mm-hmm.
I wish Andrew had interrupted Dr. Porterfield. I wish I had spoken up more assertively, but I trusted his judgment. And I said, well, okay. I pushed the sled across the room. I took one step, pulling it back, and that's when my knee buckled. And of course, right then I just called them off and I waved them off. I said, look, dude, we're done. And my voice travels, and I had to modify my voice because I'm surrounded by 80-year-olds typically here in Green Valley where I live. And I didn't want to frighten them with my veracity or whatever, but I was highly, highly frustrated. And I appreciate the PTA attending to me. I only wish Dr. Porterfield had been interrupted to also attend to me, because I respect his expertise. He evaluated me initially, et cetera, but we never got the opportunity. So that's all.
Thank you. Does anyone have any questions for the patient? Are you still in physical therapy now? Patient PC?
I'm working on my insurance and their authorization. They approved me for some. It wasn't as highly effective, in my opinion, because I'm still suffering. I've mm-hmm. changed insurances because I can't not seem to impress upon them strong enough that I need help.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been in this limbo. So I canceled my present insurance. Starting August 1st, I will have new insurance. And I've asked my primary care doctor ahead of time, please refer me to a different clinic. Please refer me back to Dr. Klein for a reevaluation of an MRI to see whether or not he thinks now I need surgery. I don't know. But 4 months and 4 days to be experiencing this kind of discomfort, waking up in the middle of the night, and I have to go out and elevate my leg on a pillow because it's sore and fatigued, is a little bit much.
Mm.
So we'll see what the new insurance brings, some hope and, hopefully some results,
mm-hmm.
because I am highly motivated.
Mm-hmm.
So if I
mm-hmm.
have a treatment plan and I have appointments, I keep them and I do the exercise because I do not wish to go back under the knife if I can help it.
Understood. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I have one question of patient. Were you being watched by the technician while you were pushing and pulling the sled?
I don't believe so. They set you on a course of treatment, then they walk away to tend to somebody else or go have coffee. Over there's a little chit-chat lounge in the corner of the clinic where they can get water refills and talk to one another, exchange notes or whatever, and you're pretty much doing your thing. And this wasn't the first time I had done the sled, so it's not like I was a rookie. This was my last authorized approved treatment on the 20th of March from my insurance. And so he set me up, said, all right, push it across the room, you know the drill, pull it back. That's one repetition. We wanted three of them. And I said, okay, well, you're the expert. I felt in my gut this was a bad idea, but I didn't speak up forcefully enough, because I just felt as though my knee was weaker and I didn't know if it was capable of pushing and pulling 100 pounds. I think the sled bare bones is 40 pounds, give or take. And then they put these dumbbells on it, and I'm not a weightlifter, but they look to be about, I don't know, 25 to 40 pounds each. And there's two of them on there. And so anyhow, in hindsight, it turned out to be a bad idea that day. I only wish that Andrew had said, okay, when he told me, quote, we'll modify your treatment, he should have interrupted Dr. Porterfield, and he should never have put me on the sled, in my humble layman's opinion, because that was a little bit too much weight and whatever for that day. But that's hindsight. So anyhow.
Dr. Bustillo, I did interview the tech, and the tech confirmed that he had walked away to get a glass of water when this occurred.
Thank you.
Dr. Porterfield, quick question. To your knowledge, had this PTA worked with this patient before?
She hadn't.
She had not?
She had not.
No. Do you know why she decided to treat and not talk with you? Did you have a conversation with her?
I had a conversation afterwards. To the best of my knowledge, currently, I have no idea why she did what she did, because it was never done by me. The patient, he had worked with another one of our PTAs, and again, she had not, the other PTA, she had never done any soft tissue work on him. And again, it was never within my plan of care to do any soft tissue work. He was purely someone who just needed to get stronger.
And I believe she provided some electrical stim that you had not provided either.
That is correct.
Thank you. Are there any other questions at all for Dr. Porterfield or for patient PC?
So I guess I have another question for Dr. Porterfield. With this particular technician, how long had they been working for you?
At that time, it was about a year.
Okay. So people come in and out of therapy with good days and bad days and things like that. Have you had other instances where this tech has not talked to you about previous adverse weekends or things like that and started?
Nothing like that. Again, this, to be completely honest with every one of you guys here, this came out of nowhere for me, because I just got this notice in the mail. And again, this had never happened before with that tech. This was something new completely.
So I guess my question is, your tech is typically pretty communicative. You know when things are going well and when things are not going well with patients before they
start. Yes.
But just to clarify, this patient was not on your schedule that day. This patient was on the PTA's schedule?
Right. Yes. At that time, okay. I was in an initial evaluation with another patient.
Yeah. Okay. That's right. And we know that the tech didn't tell the PTA.
From what has been discussed with me, he did not tell her.
And how long has the PTA worked there? Do you know? Before you?
No. She was after me. If I would guess, she's been there about five, six months.
Thanks.
From today. Yeah.
Okay. Sorry to put you on spot. Just curious.
No, it's okay.
Okay.
Do you happen to know how long she's been a PTA?
Off the top of my head, no.
No.
I know she's under general supervision, so that's what I do know. From what has been communicated to me, yes. She's under general supervision.
So at least a year.
Yeah.
I believe her statement to me is that she was newly licensed in Arizona, but she had previously practiced in New Mexico.
Okay.
But I'd have to look it up to see how long.
Okay.
I can find that for you if you give me a minute.
Mindy, I'm looking it up. She was licensed in Arizona in October of 2022.
Yeah, but let me get to her interview, because I think that's where I asked her her previous work history. Um, Ms. O'Malley has practiced in Arizona. She said since June of 2022, but practiced previously in New Mexico starting in 2017. Prior to that, she was a researcher for 20 years.
Okay.
And the laws are in New Mexico are, I believe, quite different than Arizona as it relates to supervision of PTAs.
More lenient?
I would describe it as more lenient.
Okay.
But that's my interpretation.
If there are no more questions, we'll move into deliberations. Anything else for Dr. Porterfield or our patient, TC? Okay, thank you both so much. We're going to deliberate now, so I just ask that you respect our time and talking through what we know and making a determination. Thank you. Okay. Board members, what are your thoughts?
I mean, first, I'd like to just say that I appreciate Dr. Porterfield taking full responsibility for this. You know, as we all know, it does fall back on the PT, not to take anything off of the PTA and the technician. You know, there should be some knowledge there of what they should be doing, obviously, but I appreciate them taking responsibility for this. With that being said, there's definitely some things that, I mean, it looks like he's incorporated into his practice since this has occurred. You know, so, you know, that's a positive that, you know, mm-hmm. he can take out of this. I'm kind of struggling going back and forth on whether I feel like this is something that should be, you know, a non-disciplinary continuing education or a disciplinary where we have him take the jurisprudence again, just to familiarize himself again with, you know, what the statutes and everything are. But, again, I definitely appreciate him, you know, putting those changes into effect.
I think one of the things I totally agree with you, Giovanni, I'm on the fence both ways as well. One of the things we didn't actually talk about was billing code, CPG code, therapeutic activity for patient education. That was one of the other things that was part of Mindy's investigative report. And some questioning about billing practices. And certainly supervision. I do appreciate that he said that, you know, he tries to touch base, but I'm pretty sure the requirement is that you are to touch base. You are to talk to your PTA about every patient every day prior to the PTA seeing them. I know that that can be really hard in a very, very busy clinic. We get it. But it's our practice act, right? And so, so I'm with you. I'm leaning toward education. You know, but I think that, you know, I don't know. I mean, I would hope education would be enough for Dr. Porterfield to change his practice. He owns his license. This company doesn't. And so all those things, right, that if you're going to use assistive personnel, there's some really clear, specific guidelines around how to do that in our practice act, regardless of what the company says or the documentation system is set up for, right? Aaron, what are your thoughts?
Looks like Dr. Hike's talking, but...
Oh, Dr. Hike, we can't hear you. I can't even see him.
Still can't hear you.
Oh, this happened last month, too. He lost. Go ahead.
I'll go ahead. I'm also grateful that Dr. Porterfield is owning this problem. However, you can't do what you don't know.
No.
And so I feel like, regardless of what we, choose to do with Dr. Porterfield, and I'm inclined to go with something that's non-disciplinary on this one, because I really feel like we need to talk with the PTA.
Mm-hmm.
And because I that was the disconnect, unfortunately, in this case. Mm-hmm. And however, I don't know. I feel like, however, I don't know when you learned about the problem with the patient, Dr. Porterfield, but, you know, even a phone call afterwards might have been good for the patient. So I don't know. I guess that's where I sit right now.
I agree, Dr. Bastillo. The most concerning thing about this case is why the PTA didn't immediately come to Dr. Yep. Porterfield when the patient complained about, you know, how he was feeling that morning.
1,000%.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Hike, did you want to say something?
Yeah, can you hear me now?
We can indeed.
Yeah, I was saying I'm leaning towards education. I think that in this scenario, it's unfortunate that the patient was injured. And I think the biggest thing is that the therapist could have come in and reevaluated or even done a quick screen to say, here's what's going on. I'm very sorry for your pain. Mm-hmm. This is why we are putting you on ESTEM and trying to alleviate some of your pain. And instead, it wound up being a very negative experience for the patient.
Agree. So with that, I'll make a motion then that we order a board order of non-disciplinary CEUs for, I'll just start with 9 hours of, I see eyebrows. Okay. 6 hours of continuing education around documentation, billing, and supervision. To be completed online within, do we have to put a time frame? 6 months? 3 months? 3 months. I think we can get it done in 3 months.
Second.
And the CEUs don't count toward renewal. So does that capture our discussion, you feel like? So it's a non-disciplinary order for continuing education, 6 hours. Documentation, billing, and supervision. Emphasis on supervision. Okay. Great, thank you. Judy, you want to call a vote?
Do we have a second? Did Mr. Greer second that one?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you. It's been moved and seconded to issue a non-disciplinary order for continuing education, which must be completed within 6 months, or excuse me, 3 months. The courses must be pre-approved. They may be completed online and do not count towards renewal requirements. The continuing education should be completed in the area of documentation, supervision, and billing for a minimum of 6 hours.
Correct.
Dr. King.
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Dr. Hike?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
That motion passes.
I would also like to make a motion that we open a complaint against the PTA.
Second.
Teresa O'Malley with allegations of ARS 3220445 engaging in substandard care. And then I don't know about ARS 3214. Mindy, was there, what is 14? 2044-14.
Making misleading, deceptive, untrue, or fraudulent representations.
Is that because her documentation, the patient disagreed with the documentation that she wrote about the note?
It's outlined in the investigative report.
Okay, we can add it and see if it's substantiated.
It's in conflict with what the tech and Dr. Porterfield said.
Okay, so then we'll also
make contact with the patient.
ARS 3220-44-14, making misleading, deceptive, and untrue or fraudulent representations. And I apologize, I don't have the state statutes open in front of me. Is there one regarding PTAs and supervision and not reporting to their?
That would be the going beyond. That would be the 2044-5, okay. Including exceeding the authority to perform tasks selected and delegated by the supervising licensee. So generally, when we have PTAs that are going beyond the scope and initiating treatments, that's the one that's cited.
Okay, thank you. That's it. Then, and we have a second for that. Karen, was that you?
Mm-hmm.
Any discussion or additional violations that you want? Okay, potential allegations. Okay, Judy, call the vote, please.
It's been moved and seconded to open a complaint against Teresa O'Malley, PTA, to include potential violations of ARS 3220445 and 3220444. Dr. King?
Yes.
Dr. Vecchio?
Yes.
Mr. Leone?
Yes.
Dr. Hike?
Yes.
Mr. Greer?
Yes.
Mr. Barton?
Yes.
That motion passes.
Dr. Porterfield, thank you for being on the call. And Mr. PC, I sure hope that your knee is better soon.
Thank you, ma'am.
You're welcome.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you so much. We are at agenda item 9C, 2359, Austin Hooker, PT. Is Austin Hooker on the call?
He advised me that he had started a new job and would not be available.
Okay, thank you. Okay, Mindy, do you want to give us a summary then?
Yep, just briefly. This is 2359 Austin Hooker PT. He was arrested and charged for disorderly conduct, which is ARS 13-2904A1 on April 20th, 2023. He did not report the charge to the board within the 10-day regulatory requirement, so he was cited for ARS 32-3208, which is our mandatory reporting requirement. This case is for your review.
Okay. But I think your investigative report said that he was arrested and charged, but the judge dropped the disorderly conduct, completed the diversion program for the most part.
Didn't drop the disorderly conduct, but that's in lieu of, the diversion program's in lieu of.
Thank you.
On this case, I'm between a letter of concern or dismissal. I don't think we need to order any continuing education. My initial thought would be a letter of concern saying that Dr. Hooker should be aware of the reporting requirements of Arizona law, but if someone really felt strongly about dismissal, I'd probably vote in favor of that as well.
I'm inclined to dismiss. I know we've had this discussion a lot, but I'm not sure this is related to PT enough for us to worry about even a letter of concern. That's my inclination.
I could support either one. I mean, I could certainly support a letter of concern or advisory letter, whatever you call it, that just reminds them that, you know, that is listed as the on our board website as one of the reportable charges, and to, you know, to report. I could go either way.
Yep.
Just to clarify, was the charge dropped?
He completed a diversion program, and ultimately, after the completion of the diversion program, it was dropped. So, kind of.
So yeah, so does that still constitute having to report it to the board?
He was charged.
Yeah. I think the requirement is that as soon as you're charged, you have to.
And this particular charge is on the list of reportable misdemeanors.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the only reason I would support a letter. It's just that it should have.
It is on the list. Yeah, I mean, that's reasonable.
Yeah, I'd be more inclined to support a letter.
This is Josh. Yeah, this is Josh Greer. I'll move that we issue a advisory letter saying that Dr. Hunker should be aware of the reporting requirements of ARS 3208.
Second.
The statute is.
Yes, perfect. Okay. So we have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Okay. Judy, call the vote.
Been moved and seconded to issue an advisory letter to remind Mr. Hunker of the laws and rules governing his practice as a PT and the mandatory reporting requirements of ARS 32-3208. Dr. King.
Yes.
Dr. Bastillo.
Yes.
Mr. Leone.
Yes.
Dr. Hike.
Yes.
Mr. Greer.
Yes.
Mr. Barton.
Yes.
The motion passes.
Alrighty. We are finished with all the initial reviews, and now we are at agenda item 9F, GR. Is GR on the call?
I believe he is.
He's currently muted.
I believe I'm GR.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. And then is Dr. DeGuider? I apologize if I'm not pronouncing that correct. Dr. DeGuider on the call.
Yes, Dr. DeGuider.
DeGuider. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Uh-huh. Okay. Mindy, would you like to give us a summary, please?
Yes. Let me first give you a little bit of background. So preceding the receipt of complaint 2352, we had received complaint 2261 related to GR, same person. This was filed in December of 2022. It was filed by the employer that alleged substandard care, documentation deficiencies, and potential safety issues. The complaint at the time was filed by the acting CEO of the employer and with the additional documentation from Ms. DeGuider. The board completed a preliminary review of the complaint in February of 2023 and voted to take no action. That was included in your Exhibit 1. An email was then received in June 14th of 2023 from the acting CEO requesting a re-review of the matter. Ms. Cheppi has provided a written response on 6/19/2023, and that was included as Exhibit 2. We then received complaint 2352, GRPT. It was filed on June 14th of 2023 by Ms. DeGuider. She alleges documentation and billing deficiencies, inappropriate supervision of PTAs, substandard care, and potential safety issues in the practice of physical therapy. She had included the previous request for the re-review that we had received in June. She also included supplemental information that the board previously reviewed in complaint 2261, but also included new information for the board to consider. That was included in your Exhibit 1D. Ms. DeGuider had completed a record review. I believe it was 10 records. Some of those records were the same records that you had reviewed previously. And four of the medical records reviewed are greater than 4 years old. And per ARS 32-2943 should not be considered by the board. So I removed those from your review materials. But you still had some new medical records that were provided.
Yeah, fire it off.
The respondent GR was placed on approved medical leave in May of 2022. The board should be aware that the information that was submitted for both of the complaints, 2261 and 2352, were from the same time period, which was before GR was placed on medical leave. The medical record review performed by Ms. DeGuider for this newest complaint occurred after GR started his medical leave. And according to her, the results cannot be reviewed while he was on medical leave per their federal governmental policy. GR has previously provided documentation that he actively pursued medical management when he was placed on his medical leave in May of 2022, and that was included as confidential exhibit number 4. The board is requested to review this new complaint 2352 and determine if this is a new complaint or if this represents a request for re-review of a complaint that the board has already adjudicated. The board can either take no action or open case 2352 for further investigation. This case is for your review.
Thank you. GR, would you like to address the board briefly?
Sure. Do you have any questions for me, or you just?
We may, yes.
Okay. That pretty much summarized it. Like she said, I was asked to take medical leave. I did. I saw it. I basically went through the process, you know, talked to my doctor, had a neuropsych evaluation, went to a neurologist who recommended a speech therapist. I also have since gotten a second opinion from a second neurologist. After seeing that second neurologist, I feel comfortable going back to work. I've slowly gone back to work part-time as per the instructions of my speech therapist, or recommendations, I should say. And I've been doing part-time at a skilled nursing facility, just PRN, actually, just filling in. And that about sums it up. I could go into the specific diagnosis I was giving. I don't know how much detail you would like.
No, I think if we have questions about that, we may go into executive session just to have for privacy, confidentiality for you, if that's something that,
okay,
you know, that we discuss and ask you questions about.
Okay.
Ms. DeGator or Dr. DeGator, would you like to make a statement?
Yes, I do have a statement prepared. I would like to take a moment to thank the board for reviewing this complaint. And for the sake of transparency, I would like to clarify my role in the previous complaint concerning GR and to ensure the board understands my complaint is separate and should be reviewed as such. As a first-line supervisor and licensed physical therapist, I was obligated to address GR's self-reported concerns of memory deficits and cognitive impairment in April 2022. I appropriately reported and managed his case with guidance from multiple higher-level supervisors and the Human Resource Department from April 2022 to July 7th, 2023. Federal government policy is very strict concerning the discussion of performance in the workplace with an employee on improved leave status. Therefore, it was not permissible to directly discuss GR's performance from May 1st, 2022 to February 2nd, 2023. Concerns of GR's performance and standard of care were voiced at a return to work meeting in November 2022, spurring an independent chart review being requested and completed in December 2022. This was at the adamant request of GR. I was intentionally separated from the chart review process and the results until the complaint was filed to the board against GR in December 22 by the acting CEO.
Okay. Can you talk?
I'm sorry.
Mr. GR, if you don't mind muting, that would be great. Thank you.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, you're fine. Thank you. Dr. DeGator, please continue.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
To this date, I have never interacted with the physical therapist who performed GR's independent chart review. My involvement with the complaint was at the request of the board investigator and my supervisor in order to assist in identifying statutes and providing supplemental documentation after its initial submission. I am aware that this complaint against GR was reviewed and dismissed on February 25th, 2023. I fully understand that GR has been evaluated by qualified healthcare professionals and cleared of any mental health or cognitive deficits, and the results of these evaluations indicated no restrictions concerning his ability to perform his job as a physical therapist. I would like to be very clear that I am not contesting GR's ability to return to work, cognitive status, license renewal, or other parts of the previous complaint. This was addressed in February board meeting, and my obligation to the board concerning GR situation has been fulfilled with those matters. Since GR's medical clearance, I have completed my own official chart review of 10 patients who were treated by GR between 2017 and 2022. My independent and separate complaint review today should focus on the significant concerns of GR's standard of care, billing practices, documentation compliance, supervision of staff, and indirect and or direct harm. My concerns are shared by other professionals and community members, and I have provided statements from these individuals for the board to review, along with the actual patient charts for the board to draw their own conclusions concerning this matter. I implore the board to review this complaint with the diligence and thoroughness it deserves, as this is not a single event, but indicates neglect and substandard care provided by GR to patients of the Hopi and Teoa communities between 2016 and 2022. Thank you for your attention and taking the time to hear my statement concerning this complaint and clarify my role in this situation. I am willing to answer any further questions or provide any clarification. Thank you.
Thank you. Board members, do you have any questions for either, for GR? GR, can you clarify, you are working now part-time, is that correct?
I'm doing PRN work, so I'm
PRN. Mm-hmm. And you said in a skilled nursing facility?
Yes, it's actually the job I had before I went to Hobie. Same facility, I should say.
Okay. And how has your practice changed since you took medical leave and sought care?
It was a little hectic going back. I think mostly because I hadn't worked for a year. And that's another reason why I decided to go back PRN and kind of limit my hours. I've had an open dialogue with my boss, who was actually my boss when I left, the Peaks, the skilled nursing facility. And I've fully informed him of the situation that I've had with both the board and, with my previous employer. So he's fully aware of it. And, so far he said, I mean, it's, you know, pretty limited. I've probably worked 10 hours, maybe 15 hours tops. But he said so far everything looks good. He has no complaints. I'm evaluating patients that, I've done mostly evaluations. So I complete evaluation and then he's treating them. So he's directly obviously reading my documentation and basing his care on that. And, so that appears to be going, well, as far as I can tell.
Okay. Thanks.
GR, have you had any supervision of PTAs in the facility that you're in since you've gone back?
Not really. I mean, I've had PTAs working alongside me, but like I said, I'm mostly just doing evaluation. So for the most part, in fact, I think almost entirely, I haven't had a patient that was being seen by a PTA that I had evaluated and I was currently at the facility. So, yeah, no.
Okay. And then how has your documentation changed in regard to the evals that you've been doing since coming back? Have you made any adjustments to the way that you're documenting?
It's kind of hard to compare because my last job was an outpatient physical therapist, and now I'm in a skilled nursing facility. It's kind of different. I mean, I've been trying to be as detail-oriented as possible, just to kind of make sure I hit all the bases. The program that is currently used at skilled nursing facility, there's a lot of, like, check boxes, so it's it's a lot. I mean, a lot of it is just, you know, click. Yeah, that makes sense. Click. But obviously I'm writing parts. It should be active, the assessment, et cetera. I'm just trying to be as detail oriented as possible. Make sure I hit all the legal necessities that I need to, and go from there.
Thank you.
I think I want to ask, so thinking back over the time period that the complaint covers and some of the concerns about documentation and substandard care, can you speak to that?
I would have to know some specifics. You mean generally speaking?
Mm-hmm.
I was definitely aware that Dr. DeGator had concerns the months leading up to when she basically highly recommended I take medical leave. And so, unfortunately, we didn't have a lot of time to discuss specifics. So it was more like, well, I know she wasn't happy with this, but a lot of times we never sat down and talked about what she didn't like about that. There were some specifics discussed, and there were specific instances where, we talked about it, and I was like, yeah, I definitely need to improve in that area. I'll work on it. Unfortunately, it's been over a year now. So, specific details are a little bit blurry. Like I said, I'd need to, you'd have to ask about a specific patient for me to be like, oh yeah, I remember that, et cetera, et cetera. I definitely didn't feel like I was performing as poorly as Dr. DeGator thought I was. But there was enough concern on my own end where when she recommended that I take medical leave and get things figured out, I agreed without argument.
Did you self-report concerns about your health?
Self-report to
Dr. DeGator or to HR or to someone at your prior employer?
Dr. DeGator and I had been friends for a while, and so she was a go-to person for me to discuss medical issues. In fact, we would discuss each other's medical issues. So there was a discussion there, and there continued to be an open discussion there. Up until November 1st, back and forth. So yes, she was aware of, I let her know what I was doing, who I was seeing, both professionally, I updated her on that information, but also as friends, we discussed things and went from there.
Dr. DeGator, you have your hand up. Would you like to say something?
I would just like to clarify something.
Thank you.
So I actually, as a supervisor, I have meeting minutes that do bring up concerns of documentation as early as October, I believe, of 2021. They state the basic rules of Medicare billing because they were not being followed. They discuss the basic supervision of PTAs concerning frequency of supervision. I have other documentation that is to support that I tried actively to change, the compliance of our documentation due to concerns by actually changing templates and things like that, which I believe I briefly touched on. There were active conversations about things such as Medicare billing, the need to put in a total treatment time, the need to put in individual treatment time. These were conversations that did occur. And then I would also like to clarify that when I speak about or spoke to his admittance of struggling with cognitive and memory concerns. It was directly after a second time that I had to address a patient complaint against him. And I had already addressed one. It was a wound care patient, and then another patient that was a low back pain patient who traveled a long distance called the facility, and my PT tech came to get me to talk to him on the phone because he had only had, I believe, two sessions with Dr. Riley and was very displeased. And I was approaching him about that complaint when he came and said that he had cognitive and memory issues. And after thinking about it, because it was the end of my work week, I thought of it over the weekend, and I did not feel that I could allow a physical therapist to continue to treat patients with these concerns in the open. And that was when we tried to problem solve the best avenue at that point. Thank you.
Thank you. Board, if you have any questions for GR regarding his health or medical leave or being released or fit for duty, I would suggest that we go into executive session to have a confidential conversation with him.
Dr. King is, we don't even have a complaint open, a case open, do we?
No, this is a preliminary review.
Yeah. I wonder if that discussion should wait, if we have enough to decide whether we think we should move this forward or not.
Sure.
Not that I know the answer.
I know, right? For me, it might help me make that decision, but we can always move forward and then do something different, you know? So, I struggled with whether or not, with the timing of questions. So,
and frankly, what part of me is trying to figure out is this a private dispute that has been elevated to us, or I really struggle to figure out what the motivation is. I don't want to be talking about cases, allegations from cases back in 2016, mm-hmm. but I don't know really what to do with this one right now.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think at the very least, I think one of the questions is, whether prior practice is his current practice. And I mean, we are mandated to report if if there's a concern about a practitioner. I want to thank her for that, because that is what we need. And if there are fit for duty or if there are issues, taking them to a new employer could still be an issue. So I understand where she's coming from and looking backwards. But I'm with you. I don't want to discuss cases from 2015, but I also, I hear her concern that, and his as well, what he talked about, he saw a neurologist and finally felt comfortable to go back to work. What does that mean? Do you know what I mean? And so, and in what capacity? So that's where my mind is going with what I've heard and read so far.
And, I would think, we could open this up to a complaint. Mm-hmm. But I guess I'm not even clear what the allegations would be.
Can you guys? What I would suggest is, based on Ms. DeGator's response, is she believed that at the time that he was practicing, it's similar to what the previous complaint was: substandard care, documentation issues, supervision of PTAs, billing issues. And as I said in my opening, I removed any cases that preceded 4 years that were greater than 4 years old that she submitted. She submitted 10 records. I removed some of those. that preceded that. And then some of the records that she submitted were the same as what was previously reviewed by the independent reviewer that you've already looked at. I'll also add that when GR renewed his license in 2022, he did indicate an affirmative response to, I mean, he believed, based on what he said, that he, you know, had issues that impacted his ability to practice. And I, as I stated, he has sought medical management during the time that he was taken off of leave, taken off of work for the Hopi Reservation in May. He renewed his license. He's seeking medical care. We get the complaint after, from what I understand from Ms. DeGator, is after he's been approved to return to work. And that's when this first complaint started.
Go ahead. No. Go ahead. You asked your question.
You know, I don't have the February complaint in front of us. Do we?
I thought I included it as.
Maybe we do have it. I'm struggling to know why we shouldn't. I'm really curious to talk to the Mr. Greer who sat at the February meeting and voted to take no action. Because I'm not inclined, I know that guy, he's a pretty smart guy, I'm not inclined to second guess that decision. I don't think that decision was made erroneously, but what's different, Mindy? What's different between this complaint and the one that we reviewed in February and decided not to do anything about?
What's different is there's probably four additional records from that same time period that Ms. DeGator reviewed and identified substandard or issues related to his care. They also provided two attestations, one from a technician and one from a medical physician who, without details though, there's no patient information that was provided that he was putting patients at risk.
Or Katie Richardson.
That he was putting patients at risk with his care. But they, again, similar to the previous complaint.
I think some of the other, there were more details in her chart review for sure than her original. And he had just come off medical leave, so there had, I think I've got two of 2023, and we heard it the third week of February. So I don't know. I think so for me, given that he's self-disclosed on his renewal, which, you know, I was not aware of, and that he's also said he's just now feeling comfortable going back. I'm comfortable moving it forward and maybe having some discussion about a fit for duty evaluation and bring that to the board now where he's at. Because if you remember, when he was treating those years, then he went on medical leave, sought neuropsych help. There may be a difference in who he is now than who he was then. We won't know unless we, you know what I mean? See an evaluation potentially.
Would it be possible for me to clarify some of the questions you are discussing?
Are you guys comfortable with that as a board? And in this initial, preliminary review?
Mostly from the fact that, again, I want to say that I could not do any of the review of his performance. My concerns are that is 5 years of patient care that was, if you look back in his documentation, I have listened to you all review other cases and talk about times and documentation and standards. And I could pull a chart at any point in that 5 years and prove that there's something that is not meeting a basic standard, mm-hmm. not just this past year or the year prior to him taking his medical leave. I didn't understand the extensiveness of this, although I understood there was issues to be addressed, until I had to personally treat many of these people with long-lasting impairments. Post-surgical patients, fall risk patients, and I can quote the exercises, the four same exercises after many, many, many chart reviews. And so the difference is I was not allowed to be part of this process fully. I had to act as a supervisor, but I did have to take on these patients. And the reason I did a broad amount of years was to show the extensiveness and the repeatedness of this.